Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest is a communications consultant who has also studied theology and is passionate about playing, watching, and talking about hockey. So it only seemed natural that Anne LaBeouf Douglas' debut young adult novel, Breaking the Ice, would be about hockey-playing teenage girls. Anne is on the phone with us from her home at the Circle Square Camp near Ottawa, Ontario, to talk about her new novel. But first, let's listen to We Cannot Contain All You Pour Out from the Wilson & McQueen CD, W&M.
Songs of hope and love that's never failing, and in ways we can't even recognize, we cannot contain all you pour out. Cannot contain all you pour out. We cannot contain all you pour out. We cannot contain all you pour out. We cannot contain all you pour out. You brought us into your house, and at your table we rejoice. Your gifts are so extravagant, we cannot contain all you pour out. Cannot contain all you pour out. We cannot contain all you pour out. We cannot contain all you pour out. We cannot contain all you pour out.
And now to our conversation with Anne LaBeouf Douglas. Good evening, Anne.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. Now, looking at your background, you've done work as a communications consultant. You've studied theology. How did all of this work together to get you to the point where you decided to become an author?
Well, I think that I had always seen writing as something that needed to be functional, needed to be practical, whether it was helping companies with their marketing, or whether it was, you know, blogging about theology and writing devotional type material. But I had a good friend, Brad Woods in Guelph, who's a storyteller himself and an artist, and he challenged me to take a little bit of a plunge creatively with my writing. So I made a bit of a date with myself every Friday, and went to a coffee shop, and I just let my fingers wander on the keys a little bit, and just to see what would happen. And I end up creating a couple of characters that were interesting to me, and then it just evolved from there. That it was a coffee shop date in the novel.
Well, and as you're going through this and that, who were some of the influences that you had as a writer? I mean, you mentioned Brad, and we've talked to him on the program before, as well. But who were some of the other influences in people that influenced you in your writing?
Well, I think I've always loved books that weren't too much work to read. I love complex literature that forces you to think hard, and yet I did I also love books that just take you on vacation and that take you for a bit of a holiday from life. So one of my favorite authors is Alexander McCall Smith. he writes a lot of really light mysteries that sort of explore in a really low-key way philosophy, and his characters are fun and complex. And another big influence for me growing up was James Herriot, and he just told animal stories. And again, I just love the simplicity and yet at the same time complexity of his stories of human behavior. And so I think that that's my favorite kind of thing to read. So I decided I think that's what I wanted to write.
In terms of choosing the young adult genre, were there any young adult authors that out there that started to have an impact on you as you were trying to put the novel together?
I think the reason I chose the young adult genre is because it's an age that I've worked a lot with. I was a youth pastor at our church, and right now I'm in camp ministry. My husband and I run Circle Square Ranch in Arden, Ontario, and most of our staff are between 18 and 25. And I've worked at other camps, summer camps as well, and it's an age that I really enjoy working with and also just being friends with because they're very raw. There's a lot of adult decisions they're trying to make at this point in their lives, and they're trying to make decisions about who they are and identity, and they're also thinking really carefully through some of the issues in life. And yet, because they don't have, you know, older adult wisdom or some of our cautiousness, it's a very raw age and very full of passion, and it's fiery and full of desire, and so it's just an age that I think is really special, and it's fun to explore issues of life and identity from perspective of someone who's around that age.
Well, in looking at that, can you sort of give us an idea of what the differences are between, you know, a young adult novel and novels that are written for adults?
Yeah, I think that the young adult genre is one that does appeal to, or can appeal to the mass market because of essentially what I just said. I think that a lot of them are addressing issues in life that apply to everyone, and yet they tend to be written in a fairly simple voice, and they tend to be a little shorter and a little more action-packed and page-turners. So I actually think they're probably what most people want to read, even though sometimes we choose, you know, more mature, older books that are geared at adults. But I think that the young adult genre is something that's proven popular across age groups if you look at Harry Potter and Hunger Games and those sorts of things. So I don't think a young adult book is necessarily just for young adults, even though that's a key audience. I've had a lot of 30, 40, 50-year-olds read my book and say they really enjoyed it and then pass it on to their teenager from there.
Well, what I want to do is I want to get into actually talking about the book, but before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will continue our conversation with writer Anne LaBolle Douglas and find out more about her debut novel, Breaking the Ice. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
We will stand firm, no troubles and fears surround. Not falter or slip, supported on solid ground. Mountain and shield of strength and security. Whom shall we fear? Whom shall we fear? You are the rock on which we stand. You are our shield. The rock. protection, provision, health every day I live. A mountain and shield of strength and security. Whom shall we fear? Whom shall we
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to You Are the Rock from the W&M CD by Wilson and McQueen. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with writer Anne LaBold Douglas. You went looking at Breaking the Ice. Where did that whole idea come from?
Well, I think each character is a little bit of me. Each character in the novel, there's four main characters. There's two friends who are girls who are both hockey players, and yet they're very different. One's tough, and she's independent and strong, and she is very certain that she's Olympic bound. And then the other one's kind of your classic cheerleader girl. She's fun, she's soft, she's warm, and she's a little shallow. And then, of course, there's two boys on the group of friends as well. And each of the four characters represents a little bit about who I have been in my faith over the years. So in some senses, it's a sort of almost an autobiography of my faith. I think that there have been times when I didn't, definitely when I hadn't yet given my life to Christ, I was pretty skeptical and tough. And there was also, I've also had an independent streak in me over the years, but Carly is kind of the strong, independent character, sort of who I would like to be. And then Sam is, at times, you know, I think my faith has been more shallow, especially as a young person, than it could have been or should have been. The Jay character, he's sort of the leader, the classic pastor's son, and I think he represents religion a little bit, but religion in a negative sense. Not religion in a positive sense, but religion in that, you know, it's kind of about what you're doing on the surface and showing people that you're faithful and showing people that you're you know, in a right place with God. And then Dan is a character who's a new believer, and he's passionate, and he's really on fire for God, and he really wants to do the right thing. And I've been in that place in my life as well. So as the four intersect and talk about life and faith and work through situations together, in a way they've represented four different pieces of me in different places where I've been.
Well, you talked earlier about, you know, creating the character, you know, two characters, as you were sitting in the coffee shop, you know, trying to develop your writing and that. How did you come up with those particular characters? I'm assuming it was Carly and Sam were the first two that came out. How did you sort of choose those type of characters?
Well, it kind of sounds funny, but one of the great things about being an author is that you can live vicariously through your characters doing things that you've always wanted to do. And about 10 years ago, I took up hockey and never got to play as a kid. And, of course, it's my secret dream to play in the Olympics. So I got to develop a character who was going to play in the Olympics, and Carly is good enough to play, and she's had the opportunities that someday she could play. So I thought that would be fun to, you know, it's kind of like a massive game of pretend, to pretend that I could do that someday and do that through this character. And then Sam, I think I saw as someone who could pull the best out of Carly, pull the other side of her out, the tender side and the soft side and the needy and vulnerable side. And but I also wanted a character in Carly who could call out Sam and say, you know, don't be a hypocrite. be real. Be real with your faith and real with your life, and don't be weak, be strong. And so I think I think the most fun times writing were when I would get so into these characters that it was like reading a novel myself.
Well, I was looking at it, and in reading the first half of it, I've just had a chance to get through. You've chosen sort of the first person narrative style of writing, so that you're telling the story, you know, for you know, at some points from Carly's perspective, other points from Sam's perspective. How challenging was that as an author for you to keep that consistent without sort of crossing back and forth between the two characters themselves?
Yeah, that didn't feel like too much of a challenge. I think they were so, that both characters were so real and clear in my mind, and I felt like almost as an author I had a relationship with the characters, so I felt like I knew them really well, and I knew what they would say, I knew the words that they would use, I knew, you know, what, how they would respond to a situation. So I think that that's one thing that was a surprise to me as a first-time author is how much I enjoyed my relationship with my characters and how much I felt like I knew them, and they almost became really real for me. So it didn't feel like too much of a challenge, but I didn't want it to be a challenge for the reader. So that's why I made it really clear, this is Sam, this is Carly, you know, with subheads, because I've read books before where I was trying to figure out who was talking, and I wanted to be more clear for the reader so they could just get into the story.
Right. Now, we've sort of been talking about the characters and the process of putting this together, but we haven't really given the listeners a little bit of an idea of what the story is all about. So without, you know, any spoilers or anything like that, can you give us sort of a quick synopsis of what the story of Breaking the Ice is?
Yeah, so it's the story of a friendship, mainly between two girls. Carly is... She's like a lot of the athletes that I've met, really driven, really deep, really strong, very focused, knows who she is. And yet, as much as Carly knows who she is and knows what she wants, she doesn't know how to love, and she doesn't know how to receive friendship from people. She doesn't know how to be part of the high school experience in a more social way. And they're both in grade 12. They're both thinking about their future. And Carly is thinking about the U.S. scholarship that she's going to get to a school that's going to take her to the Olympics. Sam has fully entered into the high school experience. She hasn't thought at all about her future. She's dating the captain of the basketball team. She and her boyfriend are kind of the stars of their church youth group. They have it all together. They sing on the worship band. Everything seems rosy and wonderful on the surface. And yet Carly starts to notice, as she and Sam get to know each other, she starts to call out some things in Sam and say, huh, does this make sense? And what about that? And I wanted a character who wasn't a Christian to call out some inconsistencies in the life of a Christian and force her to be a little bit more authentic. I think authenticity and faith is really important to me, and sometimes it takes people who don't have faith to force that issue in those of us who do. And then the final character, Dan, who is this new Christian, the other kind of inconsistency I wanted in the book was, although he desperately wants to live for Christ, he wants to have his life completely pure and focused on being a disciple of Christ, he actually finds Carly so interesting, he starts to fall for her. And he doesn't know what to do with this, because at first he thought they were just friends. Now he's kind of falling for her romantically, and yet his brain is saying, I don't want to date somebody who doesn't share my love for Christ. But he's not being very successful in his feelings following that. So that's the other tension kind of going on in the book with the plot.
Looking at all that, as you were writing it and as you were you know, developing it, and as a first-time novelist, did you find what were the challenges that you faced as you were going through this?
I think I wanted to be as authentic as possible with what I'm seeing that high schoolers and young adults are going through, but at the same time keep it clean and appropriate enough that 13, 14-year-olds could read it and not learn things that they didn't know before that their parents wouldn't necessarily want them to know. But there are some frank conversations about sexuality in it because, you know, that's what young adults are thinking about and working through what, you know, how to treat sexuality from a faith perspective. And the characters are not always consistent and that sort of thing. So I want it to be as authentic as possible to what grade 12s would really be going through. But at the same time, you know, I wouldn't want to ever have my own. I mean, I have kids myself. I have an 11, a 14, and 16-year-old, and I wouldn't want them reading something that would not be something I'd want them to read. So keeping it clean and authentic at the same time was a challenge. But I think also being honoring to the church, because I think something that a lot of young adults are exploring is the inconsistencies in the church experience and faith community, and they can be quite critical of it. And I think that that's a healthy thing because I think I want them to take our church into the new, you know, the next generation in thoughtful and exciting ways. But at the same time, I want to honor, you know, the church and faith communities the way they are without being disrespectful. So having those conversations within the book, I think, was a bit of a challenge. I think Carly, for me, represents the kingdom of God, and the other characters kind of represent the church. And I think that there's many things that God would love to accomplish in our generation through principles in the kingdom that Jesus talked about, you know, feeding the poor, peace, creativity, all kinds of things that are or even identity, knowing who we are, not being afraid of our greatness. I think those are some of the things that Carly represents. But I think sometimes in our Christian culture, we can get a little bit afraid of our own greatness, or we can get afraid of shining, or we can just start treat our faith as do's and don'ts. And that was a tension I wanted to explore and still be honoring to Christian community.
Okay, well, I'm looking at our time here. We need to take one final break, and then we'll come back and finish our conversation with author Anne LaBoule Douglas. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
We are here and before you stand with burdened shoulders, but open hands. We've long been wandering, but long for rest, for the peace of God that does not relent. Draw us back, draw us back. God, can your fire ignite hearts so watered down? We'll raise our hands with your strength, O God. You are ever faithful, so gracefully draw us back. Draw us back.
Draw us back. Draw us back.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Draw Us Back from Wilson McQueen's CD, WNM. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Anne LeBold Douglas. What's been the reaction to the book so far?
The reaction has been really positive, actually. One fun story was we had a fundraiser at Circle Square Ranch where we work, and we had a ride-a-thon, and I put the book in one of the ride-a-thon prizes. And I always kind of pictured it as a book that a girl would want to read, but a 15-year-old boy won it. And he posted on my Facebook that it's the best book he ever read. And that was a pleasant surprise for me. And a lot of people my own age have been saying that, you know, they couldn't put it down once they started reading it. So I think when people have picked it up, the reaction has been really positive. I've been really thrilled about that.
So what's next? Is there a sequel, or is there another novel that you've got working on?
Yeah, I have a sequel written, and I'm just talking with the publisher right now about what the timing on that will look like. The sequel is Carly and Sam go to university, and it's their experience in first-year university, and again, having to look at things like identity and what they really believe at an even deeper level than they had to in high school.
So if people are interested in breaking the ice or interested in finding out more about you, where can they get information like that?
Well, my website is annleboldouglas.com. And I also have an author page on Facebook. Again, Anne LeBold Douglas on Facebook. And the book is available on Amazon.
Well, Anne, great. Thank you. And thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight. And thank you to my guest, Anne LeBold Douglas. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at salawministries.ca. That's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Salaw Ministries, email Robert at salawministries.ca, follow us on Twitter at Salaw13, or look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.